Hello, and welcome into episode 4 of Bourbon and Bad Opinions, the podcast where what we're drinking is better than what we're thinking. Only 4 of us today. Carrie, Rob, John, and Sean. You know, we've had people in the 5th seat for two shows in a row, which has been fun, but it's just us today. So, you know, we're going to drink some bourbon, lots of bourbon, actually, on the table. And, man, we got a lot of topics to cover today, too. It's going to be a fun show. So, first of all, let me say thanks to Matt for coming on.
Yes, thank you, Matt.
It was awesome. Fun.
The last episode was a lot of fun. You know, we learned all about the Men in Blazers mood table and how he, you know, conceived that and all of that. And that was a lot of fun. That was really interesting. I would encourage everybody to go back and listen to episode 3 for sure. How's everybody doing today? It's officially winter. It sucks. I hate it. Every year I hate winter just that much more. I hate it.
It's sucky because I had to get a ride over because my battery dried because it's the first cool day. So when I go home, I have to charge my battery on my car.
Nice. I was messing around with, I have an old Mustang and it's also wasn't starting today. So I already had to hit it up with the charger and get it going. And as a convertible guy, I hate winter. I like the nice 70s, 80s, even 90s with the top down. So, you know, but you get used to it.
90s with the top down. You got to be careful.
You know what? At least we can say that when it is this cold out, you can drink bourbon.
Yes,
that's true. It's probably, you know, obviously you can drink bourbon any time of the year.
I can't stay away from the summer.
Yeah?
Unless I mix it with, I might mix it with like the mule thing that's popular now, but just kind of makes me sweaty. So I switch to gin in the summer.
So, you know, if you put it on ice, you don't have that problem.
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
ding, ding, ding.
Both of y'all.
Well, I can tell you right now that we've got some interesting things on the table. We've got 3 things on the table, actually. And first of all, let me say thank you to Rob. You know, it is close to Christmas, right?
Yes.
And, you know, he brought us some very nice glasses that we will have pictures of on Twitter and the Instagrams.
Yes, we will.
Yes.
Have them.
But very nice rocks glasses here.
So, Rob, where'd you get these?
We got these from the Southern Drawl Creations, Amanda and Jason Hall shop. They made them for me within a couple of days.
Wow.
It was a rush order, so they're really great people.
That's cool.
So if you ever have an opportunity in Lexington to buy some glassware, Southern Drawl Creations is a good place to get it.
Do they have a website?
They do. You can go to the southerndrawlcreations@gmail.com to get a hold of them. They're on Facebook and Twitter as well.
Okay, great. Yeah, so definitely check them out because these are really nice glasses. They're nice and heavy.
That's what I like.
That, in that glass, because sometimes you'll
get
skip
out, guys.
You didn't. Sometimes you'll get a rocks glass that, you know, it's thin. It's got that thin glass, and then you got to wash it and, you know,
ka-ching,
it breaks, or you put it in the dishwasher and it breaks. Definitely had that happen. Or you drop it and it breaks.
I like them. They're etched water, corn, rye, and oak.
Yes.
4 excellent ingredients.
Yes.
In the right hands can be masterful.
Can be masterful. Well, I tell you what, we've got 3 bottles on the table today. I mean,
it's the holiday season.
It is the holiday season. And I'm, you know, we started out with trying 1, and then I think we did 2, and then last week we did 1, and now we're doing 3. So eventually, the whole table is just going to be full of bourbon.
Well, we're going to be sleeping at Fort Lewis one night.
That's exactly right. Or we'll not make it through the podcast, one of the two. We'll have to play to see who's the last one standing. So right now, in everybody's glass, we started out with the Heaven Hill Old Style Bourbon. It's bottled in bond, 6 years. This is actually, I'm impressed. Sean, you bought this. You bought all 3 of these, right?
I did. I was tripping the interwebs and came across a website called supercall.com. It's about liquor, and it's the article is 6 ultra-strong bottom-shelf whiskeys that are actually worth buying. And so I picked 3 off that list. So we also have with us Jim Beam 100 Proof Bonded. And then we also have Old Granddad Bonded Kentucky Straight Bourbon, and they're both 100 proof. There's all, I think, around 100 proof.
What's the price point on all of these?
Let's see. The Heaven Hill is it's somewhere between $8 and $12, depending on where you buy it. The that Jim Beam and a old granddad were both under 25.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Huh. So it was a,
this is a bargain.
It was a bargain shopping
and
trip.
You know, we start out with the Heaven Hill, and so far I think everybody's, we've all liked it. I'm impressed.
I was really amazed. I've had some Heaven Hill before. It's a lot of well drinks here.
Haven't we all had Heaven Hill before? Yeah.
And this is really, really good. It's flavorful. It's not hot like we were talking about.
Yeah, it's not hot.
I'm really impressed with it as an $8 to $12 bourbon. Mm-hmm. I would put it up there with some of the other, you know, somewhere in the $20 to $25 range bourbons that I've had.
Well, and that's the thing, too. I think, you know, you're exactly right. When people think of Heaven Hill bourbon, they think of, you know, cheap-ass college, you know,
plastic handles
of Heaven Hill. And I really actually think that the product has come a long way in the last couple of years, right, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, probably 8 to 10 years since I've had anything, you know, from the Heaven Hill name. And I'm really, really surprised and pleasantly so.
Yeah. Now, okay, all of these are bonded. And I know we talked a little bit about this in the very, very first episode, but why don't we go ahead and kind of revisit what is bonded? What does that mean to be bottled in bond?
What I remember from our prior episodes is it has to be 100 proof, and it also has to be under the guidelines, basically the government. So it's in a bonded warehouse. It's a designation that's for purity. I believe, I'm going to cheat by reading this. Established after Prohibition, bottled in bond, Heaven Hill Old Style addresses the strictest requirements and excellence. What else did it have to be? I've forgotten already.
I don't remember.
It has to be aged, I think, for at least six years.
Six is the minimum. Yeah.
I think that's the requirements.
Mm-hmm. Now,
and the government gets their money out of it.
It's a tax thing, too,
it's a
right?
tax thing. You pay the government for that. Right. And also, what was it during Prohibition or after? People were still making bathtub bourbons and gins.
Yeah.
And so this was a way to ensure purity, because if it was in a locked warehouse, people couldn't go in there and monkey with it.
Yeah. I'm interested in actually trying the Jim Beam because, you know, Jim Beam is so, I mean, I hate to say mass produced. I hate to use that term, but I mean, it's probably one of the bigger mass produced Kentucky bourbons.
Because it's owned, what, by Suntory?
Yeah.
So, it is now,
I mean, we were talking a little before we came on air about Jim Beam, and we've all had our experiences with Jim Beam growing up. And we were talking, me and Sean were talking about, we usually have it with either a Coke or a Sprite or ginger ale or something like that. Right. So I'm kind of looking forward to the bonded as well.
I think when people buy Jim Beam or you think of Jim Beam, you're drinking it mixed. It's a mixer.
It's a mix in bourbon. Unless you get like the Devil's Cut or something. A lot of people, that's taken off, and I haven't had that yet, so I don't know if anybody else has.
I haven't.
I have. It's a little spicier. It's not bad. I didn't mind it at all. And the other part of it for me, though, Beam and like Jack Daniels, even though it's a whiskey, is one of those introductory bourbons because everybody's going to bring that to the party. So that's going to be a lot of people's first experience to bourbon.
Right. And I think Jim Beam actually is one of those that's really kind of consistent across the board.
Yes, it Once is.
You could buy 5 bottles of Jim Beam and they're probably all going to roughly taste the same. Whereas some of these you get and, yeah, one will taste really good and one might not taste so great, just depending.
One thing I will interject is, and some of that variance is an issue in terms of a lot of bourbon. Some that are blended or in some cases you get barrels that are mixed, that kind of thing. That's part of that bonded designation that I'd forgotten. One distillery, one distiller season. I'm sorry, one distillery, one single season. Barreled for at least 4 years and 100 proof. And that's part of the thing is I've had people tell me, you know, there's products out there like Blanton's, for example, that's a single barrel, the original single barrel barrel product. Some people, there's a variance. Sometimes you get a good barrel, sometimes
exactly.
You never know. And this bottled and bond is going to be, I would think, prone to that, but for whatever reason, they seem to have done it in such a way that the consistency's there. Yeah. As opposed to some that are kind of mingled and
How I feel about Woodford, because the Woodford that they distilled in Louisville before they moved the operations to Versailles, I like those bottles much better.
Yeah,
and the ones that are, it's still, you know, a good bourbon, but it's not one of my favorites. When it first came out, I just loved it. I couldn't get enough of it. But now I've moved on. It's like I don't know about that.
I think that's an interesting, not necessarily a secret, but it's something that people don't. It's not publicized.
Right.
I mean, if I'm the guy making it, it's no big deal, and I'm not going to tell everybody. Yeah, now it's not nearly as good as it used to be. But there's a point at which when people kind of find that, that's where you start to find older bottles and things that you particularly cared for.
Well, and the old granddad, of course, the only thing that I can think of when I see old granddad or hear old granddad is George Thorogood's I Drink Alone.
Well, on the way over, I was thinking about Jack Daniels' partner, Jimmy Beam.
So. Yeah, yeah.
I'm right there with Carrie.
It's just me and my old granddad. That's about all I got out of that. I actually don't think I've ever had old granddad. I don't think so, so I'd be interested to try that.
Not that you remember, I guess.
Yes, not that I remember.
Old granddad, the 114, is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
It's a quality, and it's under $20 too, a bottle. Well, that's under 30 now. It used to be under 20.
Right.
So there was a vicious rumor about that earlier this summer that it was going away. It caused clearing of shelves. It was a nightmare.
Really?
It turned out it was a lie. It was all fake news. It was all a hoax.
Hashtag sad.
But people freaked
move the product though
out. Oh, it moved product. And that was the other conspiracy theory. 2 weeks later, everybody's like, they had to clear out shelves because they're moving to another facility. They had to sell stuff.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I think we're going to try all three of these over the course of the show here. So, yeah, we'll give our opinions I guess the Beam. We'll do the Beam next.
Is it the middle?
Yeah. We'll give our opinions, obviously, towards the end here on what we think of all of them, maybe pick which one was the favorite. Just a couple of housekeeping things here before we get into other topics. Just remember, we're on 12OunceSportsRadio.com, so definitely go check us out over there. They got a lot of stuff going on. They're doing live shows now. Their website is now on WordPress, so they've got blog stuff going on. They got a lot of interesting content, and it's independent internet radio. So you can say and pretty much anything that you want, including lots of cuss words that we don't say here. But yeah, go check that out. And I would also like to say that we are now on iTunes.
Yay!
So, big time Charlie right here. So, go rate, review, subscribe.
Definitely.
So, when our newest episodes hit, they'll just be right there in your queue, and you just hit play on that, and yeah, good deal. All right, so I'd just like to point out, too, that, in addition to the glasses, Rob also brought bourbon foodstuffs in the form of bourbon balls.
I did. Those were made by the wife. I'm kind of biased, but I think she makes some of the best bourbon balls in Kentucky.
Now, what bourbon does she use? Or is that trade secret?
Can't tell us.
We alternate.
Okay.
I believe this batch was made with Jim Beam.
Okay, great.
Okay.
One of my favorites is actually Old Crow Reserve. I don't go high dollar on the bourbon balls.
Sure.
I like to get the cheaper bourbons with a little bit of the flavor. So those are two of the ones we use, and then we'll also use some Four Roses Yellow from time to time. She just goes into my bourbon stash and pulls out stuff that she knows she can take.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, John just made a face.
It's kind of like cooking with wine.
It is. That's what I was getting ready to say. Yeah. If I'm cooking with wine, like making risotto, you buy the biggest, cheapest bottle of Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah, that you can drink.
It's still drinkable, but you don't want to cook with. I don't want to cook with Pappy.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Oh, we would fire you if you cooked with Pappy.
The look on John's face is horrifying. I'd probably get kicked out of the house. I would no longer be living at Fort Lewis. Let's just put it that way. So you got your candies, obviously. Bourbon balls is a traditional, I guess, Christmas. Yeah, it's more Christmas time. Right. You can get them year round, but
is it traditional? Well, it's traditional for Christmas, but is it traditional elsewhere besides here?
I
do
don't
people do
know.
Bourbon balls outside of Kentucky?
I don't think so.
Did you make some?
Do they
for
do
Yankees?
Rum balls?
They go crazy. Rum balls might.
Rum balls,
is
yes.
That what they do?
But there's rum balls in like the Northeast.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, essentially, it's in principle the same.
Yeah.
It's just, nougat with some sort of alcohol chocolate. So.
It's basically an alcohol, like it's an edible shot.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
With lots of sugar.
Yeah.
So do you all have any kind of like go to bourbon winter holiday type drinks? I know Rob doesn't do the bourbon drinks, but he does have an excellent...
A friend of mine did send me a recipe for some bourbon hot chocolate, which I'm looking forward to. And then me and Carrie have been having a little bit of a discussion about cider, and I'm more of a rum with my cider, a little bit of butter in there. I think it's really, really good. It keeps you warm on a cold winter's night.
And see, my go-to is if you have a Keurig, this works really well. It's really nice. So you get your Keurig apple cider pods, and then you get your coffee cup. You pour the bourbon of your choice into the coffee cup, and then you put it under the Keurig and you hit the button. And then that, as the cider comes through, it mixes it up. It's really delicious.
I'm going to have to try that.
It's good, I'm telling you.
I like the Keurig apple ciders that are hot. That's very tasty.
It's a definite go-to when it's snowing out. It's a good,
put that on the list.
If you have a snow day, it's a good snow day drink. Let me just tell you that.
Snow days.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, it's like
horrifying. Terrible. All right. So, you know, obviously the bourbon balls and the drinks, but you know, if you all were going to give a bottle of bourbon as a gift, and I think a bottle of bourbon is a perfectly acceptable Christmas gift.
Yes.
Kind of what's your price point on that, and what would you recommend if somebody out there wanted to give the gift of bourbon?
I mean, my go-to is usually going to be Basil Hayden. It's really drinkable. It's not, it doesn't have a lot of burn. It's pretty smooth. I like the flavors that are in it. And it's about, you know, somewhere in between 32, 35. If I really, really like you, and I know we were kind of talking about Woodford and how it's changed, I might go with a double oak Woodford. I really like it as well. It's somewhere in, I believe, $45 to $55 range. Those would be the two that I would give to close friends and family.
Yeah, we just bought a double oaked.
We did. I've not tried that before, but you spoke highly of it, and I could not pass it up. I think if you don't think bourbon's an appropriate gift, I don't need you as a friend. number two, it depends on how much I like you, and you'll be able to go, and if I give you a gift, you'll be able to find out where that gift is on the shelf, and that will determine the degree of our friendship and my appreciation of you. I don't, like, a friend of mine, I typically will like, he's a big Blanton's fan.
Shout out to JJ.
Typically, I will kind of, that's where we go. But to me, I think that's an incredibly hard question because it's hard for me to know people's tastes.
It is hard
to know people's tastes. But I guess I think personally, you know, because you could give like some really high-end thing and say, oh, here's, you know, a $200 bottle of bourbon. But I think, honestly, I would almost go the route of getting something that, A, they could find on the shelf later if they wanted to go back and purchase it again. And B, that's something that's not an outrageous price point.
Yes, I agree with you on both of those. So, I'm sitting here thinking about what you just said. I'd probably, since I'm a fan of Buffalo Trace Distillery, I would probably go with an Eagle Rare.
Oh, good.
It's a pretty
bottle.
Which
you can find.
Yeah, you can find it. And that would be if I don't like, you know, if we are kind of acquaintancy, real good acquaintances, friends.
Oh, that's an acquaintance? Oh, that's good.
Hey. I might just go with the regular Buffalo Trace with the acquaintance. And that's not bad either.
No, it's not bad either.
That's what I would have chosen.
And I helped a friend out earlier today with that. Shout out to Matt. I'm sure he's listening. I gave him some lists. He and a friend do a pretty good exchange. So I sent him Bibb and Tucker. I've kind of gotten partial to.
Never heard of it.
It's got a nice bottle.
Who makes it?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that. I can't remember. We'll have to get
Bibb
that out
and
there.
Bibb and Tucker.
and then also I told him, and he said he'd always gave this person Blanton's, but it's all out right now.
Yes, you can't find. Yeah.
So I'd also said Booker's and Baker, Booker or Baker's. And then the other one that I've gotten, the other series I've gotten really fond of lately is the Old Forester Whiskey series, which is like their Prohibition and all those. I think any of those are around $40 to $50.
Right.
So that's a good price point. And they have some really unique flavors. I'm really in love with the Prohibition one. That's a little hot, but that one.
I think that's a hot tip that people should listen to. I think that Prohibition bourbon, it's been on every list that you see. It was out there. It's readily available. I think that's one of the things.
Who makes it?
It's Old Forester.
Old Forester. Okay.
It's the Prohibition style. It's they say that it's from the recipe or whatever. I'm telling you, I think that's one of the things it's going to be good.
Yes.
I've had it. I've liked it. It's a little warm. But to me, I think that's one of those things that I think could be very popular.
And I think getting back to something that Carrie said, that's kind of why I go with the Basil Hayden, because it's just smooth. You can just drink it straight, and it's enjoyable. You don't have to want to have that burn. It's just a good sipping bourbon.
Yeah.
I think now that we've all talked about that, I think that each of you brought up some good points. Number one, something that you'd gift to be something you can find, because you want somebody to understand kind of what's there and what's available, be able to find it again.
Right.
But I think Rob makes an excellent point that you want something that that Basil Hayden's a little on the lower proof side.
Right.
So that gives you don't want to give somebody something that's 120 proof that's, they're like, this is really way too much for me. I can't do this. But it's a good opportunity for somebody to try it neat, to give them a chance to water it down, to mix it with something. It's a quality drink. So those are two good guidelines, I think. Something that's
when I was doing the bourbon tasting for the wedding, that was a lot of the go-tos when I'd ask some questions. You know, what kind of bourbon do you like? Have you had bourbon? Do you like something that's with a little more bite? Do you like something that's a little warm? And if they would say no, I would be like, well, try this. This is going to be the bourbon that you're going to enjoy. Yep. And go from there as a starting point.
Right, exactly. So now, would you all stand in line in a lottery to get a bottle to give as a gift? This kind of leads into our next topic.
Hell no.
Is the fact that, you know, Kroger is now having a lottery for Pappy. And I guess my question is, you know, is it even worth it anymore to stand in line or go to the lotteries for these high ends?
I mean, I guess it depends for me if it's you're collecting it. I mean, how much do you have invested in this? I have gone a couple times to get bottles of Makers, the Kentucky editions, for my brother. He's in Tennessee. He can't really get them. So I've been hanging out at Kroger's at like 6:30 in the morning. It's not my favorite thing to do, but he likes them. So again, I think it's just where you're at on your bourbon collection.
I'm kind of leaning toward no, but I don't stand in line for much besides guns and ammo, but that's another story and another podcast.
Yes, Boots of Politics, which is that's a whole other podcast show, but there you are.
For me, I have stood in line at lotteries. I will stand in line at lotteries again. I will not stand in the cold, and I'm certainly not giving anything I win away to a friend.
Now, would you stand in line for Pappy, though? Well, that's at what this I'm point,
I would. To me, I think the Pappy craze has gone out of control.
Okay.
I think it's way overblown. I think there are better products out there.
Yes.
That
made by the same distillery.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. I mean, yes. I'm self-proclaimed Buffalo Trace snob. I like others. I'm doing that, but I'm telling you, once you find that mix,
right?
I've not had anything bad from them.
Well, and this is the thing that oh my God, now I have lost my train of thought. So Rob, just go.
Sort of what John's talking about. If it's just a bourbon that I've never heard of or a special reserve or something, no. When I went to get a bottle for the last show, there was a bunch of people in line waiting on something. Mm-hmm. It was Russell Reserve.
Yeah.
Special, and I'm just like, these people have been waiting here for hours for Russell Reserve. That's great. I'm going to move on. I'm going to pick up what I want.
Well, okay, so let me ask you this, though. Is a lottery better than a line? Because I know there have been some issues with these lines in the past.
I think a lottery is better than a line just because there's some chance and fate. And, you know, theoretically, it's fair. Because, you know, when you stand in line.
I've seen people scream at Liquor Barn that it was rigged.
Are you serious?
Yes. Huh. People are the worst. I am
dead serious. Okay.
Yes, there. I mean, we can all agree on that. People are the worst.
Someone who works with the public, people are the worst.
And the three of us would agree with you.
Number two, I think a lottery is fair because I've participated in these events on a number of occasions. I have a number of bottles from the Kentucky collection that Rob spoke of, but also other bottles. And as the bourbon craze kind of grew exponentially, that happened. That's the way you had to get some bottles that were more sought after.
Right.
I myself have heard people from Liquor Barn say, and Liquor Barn is just my local example, I've heard them say they cannot do this. That's the reason they do the goofy emails and the Twitter all of a sudden that's kind of pop up is because they can't have people camping out.
Right.
Because what happens at these places is everybody comes, they bring their own bourbon and they all swap bourbon and everybody gets lit. And then when it happens, they're all soused and they're driving home. And Liquor Barn got in trouble for that. So I believe that a true lottery system is better because it discourages the campouts.
Yes.
It discourages that sort of behavior. And from their standpoint, we have to do that. But also, I don't believe they're rigged. I believe that everybody has an equal chance. And it tells you plainly, you get there by 9 o'clock, the drawing starts at 10 after, and you're done.
I'm just telling you what I have witnessed firsthand.
Oh, I know. I believe it.
See, my first point, people are the worst.
So if you got a bottle of Pappy, would you turn it into Jello shots? And do you think that's appropriate? Because I just bring that up because there apparently was a bar in
Is it Louisville?
Yes.
Yeah,
that got that. Actually got their allotment taken away from them because he was turned into Jello Shot. So I'm like, who cares?
He paid market price for that. So
it's his
bourbon.
He can do what he wants.
I mean, and again, in a retail setting, that makes sense. If I was to win a bottle of Pabbi, I'm probably going to sell that bottle because there's other bourbons that we talked about
and
that I like more.
And other things from Buffalo Trace that make me happier.
Yeah.
And there's a fool out there with a lot of cash.
Yeah.
Yes.
What I will say is, number one, it's his. I feel like I'm making lists all day today, but anyway. Number one, it's his prerogative. If that's what he wants to do, it was a hipster bar, and they could enjoy that.
Shout out to Bobby Brown.
There you go.
Screw you, Peppermint Patty. You go to hell.
I'm not.
You go to hell. You die
again.
Come on, go down the road. Go down the road.
Number two, it's if in fact that's true, and I haven't seen that article that he had his allotment taken away from him. That disappoints me greatly because I believe that there are people out there who have much more egregious sins against the bourbon gods, specifically Buffalo Trace, based on what they do with their allotments than the people who make it into Jello Shots. I have seen, there may or may not be Facebook groups dedicated to this, but anyway, I have seen people who they will have the sought-after bottles, whether it's the Buffalo Trace Antique Collection or Pappy's or whatever, and they're on the shelf, and they have, you know, the basic dollar amount. You know, it's
right.
$112
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Right.
So then when you, these people, again, I can only say what people have reported, when they say, yes, I'll purchase that, what they're told is, oh, you have to purchase the seven bottles behind them, which are all well overpriced swill that they can't move. So then the package turns out to be that bottle of 10-year-old Pappy turns out to be a $350 package.
Right.
Wow.
Or et cetera. I mean, it's,
well,
there's some people that just charge secondary market blatantly,
yes,
and then there's some people that tack on a bunch of crap.
And I frankly don't have a problem with doing the Pappy gel, because I don't think he was like flavoring them. I think it was just like he was putting the adding gelatin and it was in. But yeah, you know what? I'll tell you what we used to do with Pappy. Because you know what? You could buy Pappy off the shelf. You could just walk in, stroll into Liquor Barn, like $25 for the 10-year squat bottles, buy it off the shelf, and we used to put it in Coke at tailgate. So there you go.
I remember buying you a graduation present with that.
Yes.
1 year.
Yes. But we
were young and dumb. That's all I could say.
Every Friday, we'd go in, and there it would be on the shelf, and you buy it off the shelf, and you go out the tailgate, and you pour it in Coke like a fool.
I've seen people pour it in Coke now. Again,
oh, I won't pour it in Coke now.
No, it's their shot.
I agree, but I won't do it now.
No. Do you think it's their shot and it's their choice to do that?
It's their,
I mean, this is
America. For a little while longer,
so
it's their shot.
So then would you give that person a second gift of a shot?
After
you see the egregious alcohol abuse that's just
occurred? No longer my friend at that point, but it's their bourbon. I've given it to them. They can do that.
They can do what they want.
Rob disagrees.
Oh, did I give them this bottle? I thought they were just doing it of their own accord with their own bottle. I mean, it's their bottle, I suppose, but I would suggest, strongly suggest that they didn't do that. But whatever.
Yeah, you know, like I said.
You do you.
Yes, boo, you do you.
Kind of speaking of that along those lines, so, you know, they get their allotment taken away from them. And we've got actually, apparently, I don't know if that's going to affect this restaurant's bottom line necessarily, but we've got a restaurant crisis going on in Lexington right now a little bit.
I think we've also got some saturation of the market. We had a new retail place open up with the Summit, and there's probably 15, 20 restaurants that have opened up there, and there's various restaurants closing. And, you know, I would say that if you put out good food at a good price point, have great service, that might not be a problem. But if you're just going to put out food that's so-so at a high price point, you're going to probably close.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Here's the thing that I don't know that a lot of people know about Lexington. We have more restaurants per capita than like... I think we're probably got to be in the top five of the country.
We have to be. Because I was about to mention that. And for years, the whole time I was growing up here, we were a test market. You know, there's a restaurant called Bella Notte, which is upscale Fazoli's.
It's very good, though.
It's very good.
It's good.
But they were a test market because Fazoli's had thought about taking high-scale Italian across the country. And this was their test restaurant.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
And so this is the only one in the world that's here. So for years, if a restaurant couldn't make it in Lexington, then people just dropped it because we have people eat out so much here.
Here's the thing. we have a lot of restaurants, and you know, a lot of them close, and the restaurant business is difficult. But we've got like 8 freaking strip clubs that are all still open.
It's a strip club, Gary. Come on. It's human.
I've counted
flesh.
Them before. We have 8. And we could count them up right now.
To narration, John is counting in his head right now.
I think we have 8 strip clubs.
If they serve better food, there'd be 10.
There you go.
But the thing of it is, it's not just like brand new restaurants that are closing that have been open 6 months.
No, you're right.
It's stuff that's been here for a long time.
Well, one of the restaurants that closed, it was the pub, and I just wasn't impressed with their food. I think, again, sort of an overpriced beer and overpriced food. That's not where I want to go.
But they didn't have a scotch list that was was hard to beat.
They had
Lexington.
A scotch flight that was delicious.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And I think the thing that about the pub, because that was kind of local owners, because they used to own the Shays that closed to make room for another clothing store downtown. I think that was the most shocking thing with me, because they were in the market for, goodness, probably 30 or 40 years.
What, DeShays?
Yeah.
Well, DeShays had closed a while back, but I did like DeShays. I thought that was pretty good food. Yeah. They had a really good
menu.
But
it was the same restaurant group, and they'd been to market for years.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the fact that when I saw that the pub closed, was it last week, I was rather shocked. I'd just driven by there and saw the white sign on the door.
The one that really got me the most was probably Chatham's, because Ramsey's was at that corner of...
I missed Ramsey's there.
Yeah, I missed the Ramsey's too. I think John's got something to talk about on this.
So Chatham's has no parking. Ramsey's had no parking. There was nobody there. The deal with Ramsey's was it was a local restaurant that is a Lexington staple, and everybody loves going there. But the problem is that location. There was a car that drove into the building one time, because it's on the corner of nowhere and nothing, and there's absolutely no parking. And beside it is some like dude that repairs foreign autos. So there's literally no parking. They have very good food. They had mismatched chairs, and I thought that it was Southern home style cuisine, which I did not think was bad at Ramsey's. Never went to Chatham's one time.
I went to Chatham's twice, and the second time it was good. First time, not so good. So
let me ask you this question. Is it the economy? Is it the glut of restaurants? Or is it the fact that this isn't necessarily chef-driven cuisine? It's cook-driven cuisine.
I think it might be that. It's supposed to be a foodie atmosphere. I'm not sure if they're capturing that vibe, and at the price point that they're selling it, it's just not working. And I worked in restaurants for, probably about 8 years or so when I was younger. I also understand that the rents on those places are really, really high.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When the one that's used to be Saratoga, down in Chevy Chase, it's been 3 or 4 different restaurants now. I think that is like... it's like $30,000 a month or some crazy amount like that for that space, and it's really difficult
and
to
there's
make
no
it.
Parking down there.
There's no parking, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what though? We do have still that are open are Pizza Huts.
Can't complain.
You know what though? If you're
can't
gonna
complain.
If you're gonna
you like Pizza Hut,
if
are
you're
you pizza
no,
Hut
if
I will eat it.
The thing of it is, if you're gonna skip the country, I wouldn't go to a Pizza Hut.
Dog, I thought you knew.
All right, so we need to talk about this, because this freaking guy, Eric C. Kahn. If you're listening out there and you don't know who Eric C. Kahn is, long story short, this guy basically defrauded not only the government, but people who were trying to like get their money that they legitimately deserved. Basically, he defrauded Social Security, the whole entire system. And he cuts off his ankle monitor and he skips the country. I don't understand why anyone who was going to skip the country would not Google what countries don't extradite for.
Amen.
He's a lawyer.
He's a lawyer. It's called non-extradition. You go to Vietnam, eat some really awesome Vietnamese food, and not get sent back.
I should have gone to him for advice as to where to run. The dude didn't know, didn't Google, and I mean, for all the planning, because if I may, he represented a number of people in Eastern Kentucky.
Right.
Many of whom got disability, right or wrong. That's yet to be determined at this point. But there were some, no doubt there were some legitimate claimants in that group. He'd paid off judges. He'd paid off psychiatrists. He'd paid off the physicians. It was a network of individuals, allegedly professionals, feeding into signing off on stuff to basically get anybody and their brother whatever they wanted. So then the dude realizes he gets caught, and you really do have to Google because he had like his own little compound of trailers. And
it was brilliant. But it was crazy.
So then he gets caught.
I mean, he saw Goodman. He realized he saw Goodman. That's fair. Yeah.
So he gets caught. He is arraigned. He's going through the whole thing. The point when he's about to, he's on an ankle monitor on home release. Why, I don't know. And then when he gets the opportunity, like the weekend before he's going to turn himself in to go into federal custody, his friend gets a Faraday bag, and he locks this thing up, and he drives down the interstate, and he cuts it off, and he does this whole pre-planning thing in order to go to a country that
Honduras.
But he pre-plans. He obviously, or somebody with him, researches how to cut off an ankle monitor and get away with it. Yet you can't take 5 other minutes to Google, what countries don't extradite.
Russia, Vietnam, China.
There are so many things wrong with this. First of all, I believe, if I'm correct, he got a 12-year sentence. He probably would have served 2 or 3 years.
No, it's federal, so he'd have done 80%.
Okay, so he would have done
still
9 years or so. And then the other part is, if you're going to escape to another country, don't go to Pizza Hut. Go to a local restaurant, poor lighting, you know, hang out with the locals. Don't go to where American tourists are going
to
be.
But see, if I was going to Honduras, I'd like go to the jungle and say, hey, warlord type peoples.
Thank you.
I got skills.
I got money.
I got money. Let me be part of your group.
But I don't know if I really want to live in the jungle. I still want to live in a city. I still want to be around things.
I mean, living in the jungle.
Again, I probably would have went with another country. But I don't know how to got with the local rebels, because then they're going to shoot you and take your cash.
Well, no, they would shoot me because I would constantly sing "Welcome to the Jungle."
You read my mind. That's every day.
It would be a daily occurrence.
I mean, again, this is a lawyer who essentially bilked the U.S. government, had a payroll of judges, psychiatrist, all of this, and he hangs out at Pizza Hut. I mean, you got to do better. You got to do better, Eric.
See, I don't disagree with the hanging out at Pizza Hut thing, but still, you're a lawyer, dude. You had to pass the bar. You probably use Westlaw and LexisNexis at some point in your life.
Liable. Please, sir. Oh, don't have any money.
If I may. He may or may not have cheated. I'm just saying. He is a lawyer. Number one, have you seen again, I'm with the list. Number one, have you seen Eric C. Khan? That dude's not surviving in a jungle with any warlords anywhere.
That's a good point.
Nowhere. And number two, I would like to point out, his lawyer, when questioned about his the capture of his client in Honduras at a Pizza Hut, his lawyer expressed surprise, stating, I thought he would have gone further into South America.
I'm with the lawyer on that, man.
I really am.
Basically, he just said, yes, he's an idiot.
I mean,
he got tired. He was winded and he stopped at Pizza Hut.
What was it, 6 months? I guess he just couldn't hold off for a Supreme Pizza for 6 months.
I guess not. Well, you know what?
Pizza Hut is tasty. I can't say that.
He should have gone to Domino's because, you know, Domino's has pizza insurance now. And if you drop your pizza or something happens to your pizza, they'll give you a new pizza.
This is, you know.
Wow.
This is where we are as a country, apparently.
Pizza insurance.
Boots and politics, mister.
I just don't understand why we need pizza insurance. Hey, don't drop your pizza.
If I'm getting out of my car on my icy driveway and I drop my pizza, I'm going to cry because I dropped my pizza.
That's your fault. That's not Domino's fault.
Right. I agree. It's a you issue.
Does pizza insurance, does that cover Honduran gunmen coming in and arresting me in middle pizza?
Not at Pizza Hut.
SWAT teams.
Not at Pizza Hut.
Had he been in Domino's?
Possibly.
That, like, again, this is a world where when we were children, like when we were younger, we were told to avoid the Noid. Okay.
Yes,
now we insure against the Noid.
Yes. Mm.
This is ridiculous.
Right. Noid insurance. I like it. That's what they should call it.
They should call it Domino's.
If I see that on TV,
That's us.
This is on record. This is on a recording. Patent pending. Noid insurance.
Noid shows up in a suit with a briefcase.
Absolutely.
No, I'm looking. I think this is good.
I like it. I like it a lot. Well, you know what? It wouldn't have surprised me if Eric C. Khan was also on the college football playoff committee.
Oh, my God.
Because I'm telling you right now, I don't think the college football, and we're going to talk about sports. I don't think the college football committee made the wrong decision. I think the problem is that the college football committee in this playoff was supposed to replace the BCS, which everybody hated and was so super terrible. This is worse, in my opinion.
I don't know if it's worse. I'll come out right away and just say that I think Ohio State probably should have been on one of the four teams. I probably would have kicked Alabama out. And there's going to be a lot of disagreement at this table.
Bad opinion.
But that's fine.
It's the name of the show.
It is bourbon, so you're allowed.
You know, I think they're really underselling these conference championships. You need to win your conference championship. Alabama was not in the SEC conference championship. Full disclosure, love the SEC. Love the fact that we have two teams. Other part of this, though, is, you know, it's if it's becoming a regional thing, I think that we need to have some representation from other parts of America. Right now we're looking at, what do we got? We got the South with three teams and one from sort of the Midwest.
And right. The West.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm not really comfortable with that. I think we, you know, you could expand it, but I think Ohio State should have been in.
So let me ask you this, Rob. So would you expand it to like eight? Because that's what I was thinking when I saw that. It probably should be eight.
Teams. UCF got screwed.
They did. They did.
Sorry, they did.
And I think if we had eight, they would probably be in it.
You could do two options. I like the eight. You could do the conference championship of the Power Five, mm-hmm. and then three at large. Or you could do six with a bye on the top two, okay. with the five, and then one at large. That would be the way I would look at it. Okay. And I think they're going to have to expand it at some point.
I think
point
so too.
Because of you're not going to leave Ohio State out, or right. not just Ohio State. If it's Michigan, whatever it is, you're leaving out USC. Those are huge markets, and I mean. Money is going to drive this more than
no. It all it drives is. All of it.
Yeah.
If you're going to have a tournament of champions, call it the tournament of champions. I have no problem with that, as you said. And then we will be stuck with. I don't want to hear complaints when you're stuck with bad Pac-12 teams, bad SEC teams, if that were to happen, bad Big Ten teams, bad you know Big 12 teams. That's fine. The issue you have with UCF, I mean, that's fine. They're a feel-good story, that kind of thing. This system is built to a point where you cannot compete if you're not one of the major. No,
but UCF took care of their business. They handled their business.
The system was supposed to be: we're going to give these teams like UCF. This playoff is nuts. It was built like that. We were sold a bill of goods. We were sold a bill of goods.
Bad opinion.
No,
bill of goods.
Well, you did not listen. This is a Power Five world.
Thank you, John.
We're just letting them live in it. This is a power five.
Wow, man!
Do you really think that UCF deserved to be in a national championship game?
Here, do you think
look
that
one? Schedule.
No, they deserved a chance to play for the opportunity.
Yes,
no.
They do. They
there's
do.
Not agree a playing game. This is not the NCAA tournament where there's a 26th, 27th, or 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th team. Nobody gets a play in. Nobody gets a do over. They're in a conference that, by their very nature, they will never participate in a football playoff.
But they handled their business. They beat everybody in the conference. Everybody played outside and they were, the conference,
and so did Boise a couple years ago, and they actually won some games.
And I thought that the same thing with Boise.
But again, if they were playing, if Boise was playing for a national championship, I don't think they would have won the game.
I don't care about that.
But the fact that we were sold a bill of goods on this college playoff that said that's my opinion. It's a bad opinion. Whatever you want to say, it's a bad opinion.
Three bourbons in, it's a bad opinion.
I don't think we were if you wanted to believe that, then I think you were a little naive in believing that because it's about like John said. This is going to be the Power Five.
Well, what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen. Because the last time two SEC teams played for a national championship, we got the playoff. We got a four-team playoff.
Alabama, LSU?
Yes.
We're going to get eight. We're going to get eight this time.
And I mean, I don't want to be a homer on this, and I don't really care. And to Rob, I say, let Bama play. Let Bama play. But anyway, this changes the rules.
That's for you, Stuart. This is,
every time they've changed the rules and the SEC succeeded, they changed the rules again.
Yes.
Every time they change rules, they're going to change the rules again. I don't have a problem with six teams. I really, truly do not have a problem with six teams. I will, however, say, I said this Friday night on Twitter and a number of other places, I have watched a lot of college football. I've seen a lot of teams play. There is no way you can tell me that Alabama is not, it should have been, and I said this then, Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, and in my opinion, Georgia. When they played those games, I think Auburn. Had Auburn won, they would have been fine, but I still think Georgia would have been a better team.
Well, to my point, if Wisconsin would have won, they would have put them in. Ohio State is better than Wisconsin.
That's true.
But don't lose to 31. See, don't lose by 31 to Iowa at that close to the end of the season.
Don't lose and not get in your conference championship.
Ohio State didn't last year, and they still got in, and they got their ass whipped by Clemson.
That's true.
I will say this, I think, was an excellent point that was brought up elsewhere.
Girls Beer Sports Podcast.
They set the precedent last year when they trotted out Ohio State, propped them up, and basically fed them everything they could to put them in. That's what you pave the road with Buckeyes, and Bama's going to roll down.
The bottom line to me is everybody hated the BCS. Oh, BCS is so terrible. Why are we letting computers pick it? And now everybody's like, oh God, this 14 playoff is so awful. I knew when they went to this and they went to a committee that was going to decide that people were going to lose their minds because the committee would still be wrong. But I just don't know how you fix
it. People are always unhappy about something.
Because people are the worst.
People are the worst.
Even in this, it's not in this for me. It's not people are the worst. You know, it is. You're being excluded, and if your group is not being included into this, you're not going to be happy. It's like the 64th or 5th team,
right? In the basketball tournament.
Everybody is upset that a 500 Big Ten team didn't get in. Well, you know what? Win more.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And you know what? Win more next season.
But now, wait a minute. Well, you're right. I see your point. Because you're consistent in the sense that Alabama should have won. I think a 16 playoff would have been helpful. No. I don't have a problem. I truly don't have a problem saying that we're going to create a tournament of champions such that these automatic qualifiers come in and you do a playoff. And maybe it's six teams and you get four. We have four conference champions and you have two at-large teams so that you have a team that, for instance, Ohio State last year or Alabama this year or whomever next year, so that you do have a little bit of parity, because it is a significant issue when nobody's going to watch on New Year's Eve from
New
York or whatever.
Honestly, the Big Ten didn't get in, the Pac-12 didn't get in, and it's no secret to anybody who knows me, I am not a fan of Pac-12 West Coast football. I don't like West Coast football. Anyway, and I haven't for years. But the bottom line is,
when you compare
USC's like schedule, strength of schedule, all of that to Ohio State, USC actually should have gotten in. If Ohio State is going to get in, USC should have gotten in over them. Yeah, they had a better strength of schedule.
Don't take this too far, because you're going to bump Bama. Because they had a better Alabama. They both were conference champions.
I'm just saying, if Rob's bad opinion that Ohio State should have got in, I'm saying if he thinks that, then actually USC should have gotten in.
I could have made an argument for USC as well. It's any given Saturday in this case, and this is what happened with the Iowa game. I fully think Alabama would have won last year if that running back had not got hurt. I can't remember his name now, with Clemson. Because they were rolling. And so anything can happen in a lot of these games.
Bama lost because of the
play. Real quickly, though, is it a conspiracy against Bama? Is Phil Fulmer trying to sabotage Bama?
Don't mention his name.
What's up with
Fat Phil? because it's the Tennessee. The Tennessee coaching search was an absolute wonderful, beautiful train wreck on Twitter. It was absolutely brilliant.
It was heaven on earth.
Every nonfiction and fictional coach turned them down at some point.
I turned them down twice.
I think this whole podcast, we said no thank you.
Absolutely. But the thing of it is, all of a sudden, Tennessee hires Alabama's defensive coordinator. And, you know, the same thing happened last year with Lane Kiffin, where FAU hired Lane Kiffin, right? And then he didn't coach against Clemson, and Alabama's offense went in the crapper.
It did. That's interesting, because it seems like everybody's cherry picking Nick Saban's coordinators, because they're the people to be in that one.
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about this in a previous podcast, but these are the people that are winning. Nobody's going to get a coordinator from like a 5-7 school. Alabama's winning every year. Even if their coordinators aren't that good, they're going to be taken. Kirby Smart has done really well, so why would you not go after Kirby Smart? I mean, this is just makes sense to me. If you're looking for smart coordinators, Nick Saban's obviously a smart guy. He's bringing in these people. He's teaching them their system. That's the guy you go for.
I totally agree. That's one of those things I'm looking for. Well, eventually you will see this picture. Everybody hates Bama till they want a coach.
Mm-hmm. Word.
And I'm telling
word.
You that's true. That's one of those things. Fat Phil is an issue. I remember way back when he took the job from Johnny Majors.
When Johnny Majors
was an upstanding gentleman, and Johnny Majors had to have open heart surgery, and Fat Phil came in and took the job, undercut him. So then we get a glorious Sunday where John Curry, a man who had the job for 6 months.
You mean Bill Curry?
No. John Curry.
No, John Curry, yeah.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
Oh.
And both of you should be locked away for thinking about that in this particular situation.
3 yards
although,
of dust.
From your lips.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
To God's ears.
Anyway. From your lips to God's ears, let's open on Tennessee. John Curry, a man, had the job 6 months, went through about 75 coaches, and then when he had an agreement with Mike Leach, was fired before he could execute that agreement.
Actually, I'm not sad that Mike
Leach left
because
me.
For our home team, that would have been death.
It would have been bad, but yes. Also, I thoroughly enjoy, please Google this if you're listening, Mike Leach's words on anything.
His wedding advice, his marriage advice was brilliant.
1,000% true.
Brilliant.
The other part on this that I would say is all of these assistant coaches have left Alabama. Alabama keeps winning. So it's the main man.
I just want to point out, Alabama is like Terminators. They just have one after the other after the other. And two, I said in October, and I couldn't find the tweet because Twitter only lets you go back so many old tweets. I said back at the beginning of October, book it, mark it down, place a bet, whatever you want to do, that Alabama and Clemson will be playing in the playoff. And people called me crazy.
I remember that, but I think you're right.
People called me crazy. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see. It's going to be interesting. You know, it's going to be Clemson, Alabama showdown, and then Oklahoma, Georgia. And it could be. I'm telling you, if it's an all SEC final game, and somebody from
we're
SEC,
going to 6 or 8.
We're going to 6 or 8.
And with
book
that,
it. Oh, book it.
No, we're going to 8. If it's all book SEC, it. I can guarantee you.
With that, I say Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
RMFT. Look it up.
Roll Tide.
Somebody we know is happy.
In the words of
he
Mike
don't
Price,
listen though.
It's rolling. Baby.
If he listen, he don't listen. He don't listen.
He got a dumb phone.
No, he just
challenge.
Don't listen.
Oh my God!
All right, so
call out to Stewart.
So all right, we've had all three of these bourbons. I'm gonna.
We've had a lot of these.
I'm gonna go. Yes, I'm gonna go around the table and you can rank them in the order that you like.
All right, I'm gonna go Heaven Hill first. I mean, for $8 to $12, I thought that was an incredible bourbon. Highly recommend it. I'm gonna go Old Granddad as my second of this list. I thought it was okay. It wasn't my favorite bourbon, but it was still drinkable. Fairly smooth. Jim Beam reminded me a little of our bullet that we had last week. It was really harsh for me.
That's interesting.
And I just didn't like it.
Really?
Yeah, that was kind of my take.
Heaven Till was definitely the first. It was incredible. And I'm thinking,
can we point out how much? We're talking about a $12.
$12 bourbon fifth. At the most.
I mean, that's incredible.
Yes.
A $12 fifth that's that quality. Yeah. I've heard people tell me that.
Yes,
people
I have.
Said that. But I've never tried it. They weren't lying.
I'm thinking about a case on the way
that
home.
That is good.
I'm seriously thinking about going to buy a case on the way
that's,
home.
That's a solid.
Since we are in Kentucky, I'm thinking a 2A and 2B for the Jim Beam and the Own Granddad. The Own Granddad choked me just a little bit. I think I inhaled too much oxygen at the time.
Oh. Y'all was making faces on that old granddad now.
It burned a little bit, but it got better. It opened up.
I would like to point out at this
Jim
point,
Beam
it's
a, would be 2A for me.
It's called a high rye mash bill.
Right.
So that it's a little bit different in terms of the percentage or whatever the distribution, the recipe, I guess, is the way I should say it.
Well, I like the head. I think definitely Heaven Hill number one for sure. Absolutely, it was very smooth. It wasn't hot. I didn't hate the Old Granddad as much as Sean and John did.
I didn't hate it, but you all were like choking on it. It's because like, I think we inhaled too much oxygen.
Okay, all right.
It burned me.
Honestly, I think I probably would go with the old grand. I'd probably do Heaven Hill, Old Granddad, and Jim Beam. Yeah, I'm with Rob on this one.
I mean, the Jim Beam, when I had that first sip of it, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. It was there.
Yeah.
I mean, came in like a wrecking ball.
There you go.
Really? Miley, sir? Oh, Miley Cyrus
did it. Yeah.
I'm going to send him to you.
What?
I got lost there.
Okay, Sean, you're cut off.
I think what we've decided is maybe three bourbon tastings is a little too much.
That's we just too stick with two. Four, we'd be sleeping at four.
Oh, well, wait till the close to Christmas episode. This could get really entertaining. No, but I think honestly, any of these for the price points would totally be worth a buy.
No, I'm with you on that. Yeah. It's like if you wanted to buy any of these, you could not go wrong.
I would agree with that.
I'm definitely going to have some more of the Heaven Hill.
I totally agree. This is like, first of all, shout out to Sean. He's sitting here. So can you shout out people that are in the same room?
I think that's acceptable.
Well, I just did. So it is what it is. It's a misnomer for like bottom shelf because I think these are pretty high quality, to be honest.
No, I've had some top shelf that are not as good as
these
three.
Look at last week's episode.
Well, the Bullet. I mean, that Bullet that we had, I think all three of these are better than that Bullet.
Yeah. As a fan of the Bullet, I did not like the cast strength Bullet at all. No, I would agree with that. I mean, I think Beam and the Granddad are probably somewhere mid-shelf. That Heaven Hill, though, for me, blows both of them away. I mean, it is,
I'm impressed.
Why are they charging $12 for this?
I mean, if you go to a certain grocery store.
Maybe I
agree with you, Gary. Shh. Hush your mouth,
well,
Josh.
You know, if we can get an endorsement out of them, I'd charge more.
I think because it has the name Heaven Hill. I mean,
because people associate with bottom shelf. Yes.
Even around, and especially in Kentucky, that's just... You know, it's not the name that's going to sell, but that was solid bourbon. I like Sean. I'm going to pick a couple bottles of that.
Yeah. Do you think it's a 6-year thing? Do you think that's what does it? Is from a business standpoint on their side, they have to have something that's in each price point, that's in each market, like
could
market
be.
Point each
could,
shelf.
Yeah, I think well, could
know, and maybe that's yeah. it. But if this is the worst that they produce, I mean,
it's better than some of the best that they produce. To be honest with you,
I agree with that.
Yeah,
I will have absolutely. To say that I enjoyed the Heaven Hill first.
Uh-huh.
Not only value, but also, I mean, anything that's got a UPC around the neck, that's nice. it honestly smelled like college,
hater.
And that's a good thing.
College,
but I will say that old granddad, that is good.
But
it grew on me. It's like tasty.
See,
because like,
y'all was choking on it. Y'all was choking on it.
I'm not going to lie. My first sip was like I inhaled too much oxygen. But after that, it's like it is tasty.
Y'all aren't getting
this,
gentlemen.
It's good.
I'm telling you.
And I'm a fan of the old Granddad 114. And this is like up there with that.
But see, I love the fact that, especially on this podcast and what we're doing here, is the fact that we can bring these kind of – people think that you have to have a higher-end, really, really super high price point. It's bourbon for it to be good. And that's just not – it's not the case.
No.
It's just not the case. You can find some really, really good things. And if you keep listening, you'll find out.
We are digging so you don't have to.
Thank you.
We will tell you what is good. We will walk you to the shelf. We will do everything but buy it for you and hold your hand.
We kind of know.
But you could buy it for us.
Yes, absolutely. We kind of know what we're doing over here. And, you know, at least you listener, don't live in a house where you have more looking bourbon than you do drinking bourbon. Wow. I'm just saying. Oh, okay. Wow. And with that, I think we're done here. We're done for this episode.
I have enough to divide by two. That's all I know.
Well, when the zombie apocalypse comes, a lot of that's going to Molotov cocktails. That's all I'm saying.
That is a lie.
No. Yeah, that's for other stuff.
We're killing people with the Molotovs.
All right. Well, guys, yay. I think we're done here.
I think we are.
Thanks for tuning in.
I'm hitting the music.
This was fun.
No, maybe. Oh, yeah, there you go. All right. So thank you so much for tuning in to Bourbon and Bad Opinions. You can find us at podcast BABO on Twitter. You know, we're on Instagram. We're on iTunes now. We're on Podbean. We're on 12 Ounce Sports Radio. And yeah, we'll definitely see you.
Check out these glasses at Southern Draw, because these are like
buckets. Yeah, they're no really
joke,
cool.
No joke.
They're
awesome.
Some glasses. I poured a normal amount and it was too much.
Yes.
SouthernDrawCreations.com.
Yes. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.